Blog Talk Radio.
Theme for the debut of the great show that's coming across the airwaves. It is the Gross Misconduct Podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend to me, Kip Gross. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, co-hosting, producing it in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. 30 minutes goes by quick. If you happen to miss it, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, let me lay the red carpet down, put that podium in its place, and hand off the mic. Kip, how are you? The day, well, pretty much the last day of spring as we hit summer tomorrow, my friend.
Well, I'm doing really, really good. I'm back in Arizona right now, and I think summer officially hit a couple weeks ago because I've been through a couple hundred degree days out here. But yeah, the forecast for the next week and a half or so is 100 to 110 every day. So we've officially hit it, but it's like they say, you know, the humidity's really low here, so it's not that hot. But it's when it gets 100, it's hot.
What, nothing but 8 hours of the pool. With a couple cold ones, relaxing on a raft is what I got to say.
Yeah, the pool stays really nice out here, you know, during the summer, once in a while. But, yeah, it's a good day to sit out at the pool and like you said, have a couple coolies for sure.
Yeah,
and,
exactly. Yeah, no doubt about it. In that desert, man, I can imagine, and especially with that dry heat. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. Man, the debut today, we've got past the practices. We've opened it up with a little Hell's Bells, AC/DC, the walk-up of Trevor Hoffman, and we got to get more of these great things, and you could pick them too, but I figured I want to throw you a little surprise.
Yeah, the little AC/DC is good stuff. Add a little sports and a little AC/DC. It makes your day go really well. Hey, yeah, kipgross.com is a website you can go with me. And I'll always respond to anything and everything, no doubt about it. Throw anything at me. I don't care. I will respond. And,
that's
a fun thing.
Well, you know what? We got after the practice, we went through, and it went by pretty quick, and we didn't get through your time in Boston and Houston, the managers you played, and more or less how they treated you and what you learned from those guys. In some of the things in your repertoire as far as pitching. Maybe he was a pitching coach in one of those cities, but who was instrumental? We'll start with Boston as we finished Japan, we finished L.A. and Cincinnati. So we'll take these next two, and then we'll get into a nice topic.
Well, Jimmy Williams, the manager in Boston. And you know what? It's the first time I ever knew him, really. And he was quite the guy. He knew the game really, really well, obviously, being a manager. But he was one of those hands-on guys that would he'd joke with the team. He'd have fun with the team. So he was a player's manager. But unfortunately, I think he was put in a bad situation out there in Boston at the time because the GM just didn't quite do things the way they're supposed to do in baseball by the rules when I was there. But Jimmy Williams was fun. He from day one of meeting him, he talked to you, he explained things to you, and you really were never out with him and not in the loop. So he was really good. And then I went to Houston, and Larry Dierker was out there. And Larry was a different dude. He was the guy that wore Hawaiian shirts all over the place on the planes, and he was just a good, fun guy. Again, a guy that'd come out to the outfield during batting practice and talk with you and see how your family was doing and stuff like that. So I was fortunate to have some really good managers, and I was unfortunate to have a few that I just didn't get along with. But you know, when it all comes down to it, your goal is one thing: that's to win a baseball game every night. And so that's what we did. And so when you can put everything behind you and enjoy the game, that's what you do. And it was fun everywhere I played, though.
Yeah, and when you look at pitching and your stellar career, I mean, it was just amazing. But when you look at it, who's more influential on you, the manager or maybe the pitching coach? A lot of people don't quite understand that. They look at the manager, but I would look at the pitching coach as well.
Yeah, but you know, the manager is there to manage. And guys like Lou Piniella, he'd put his two cents in there for different things.
Right.
But yeah, you got to have a great relationship with your pitching coach. There is no doubt about that, because he's basically not your boss, but he's the guy you kind of got to look to and get all your information from as far as what's going on and how it's going to happen. So, you learn a little bit from everybody too, you know, because everybody had their careers and everybody had their little things they did during their career where somebody else might not have done it. And so you learn along the way things to do and how to play the game. And so, you know, even the bench coaches and the hitting coaches, you should always listen to them and understand what's going on out there, because that little bit of information, you know, like a second baseman playing a little closer to the bag for a certain hitter, you want to kind of know that a little bit, because if you got a comeback or two and on a double play, you might want to know exactly where he's playing back there so you don't touch the ball, so he can get on his own or whatever. I mean, it's hard to do, but every bit of information from all the coaches does help.
Right. Now, when you look at what's going on with the College World Series, have you been keeping an eye on it? I've been keeping an eye on the Gators of Florida, and it just seems like when you look down in the South, boy, they're starting to build the thing like they do in college football down there, SEC. You got Florida. You got LSU. You got Stanford out here, more or less. Tennessee's down there. But and when you look at this thing, is there an advantage sometimes of these guys that can play in all, you know, weather year-round compared to some of the regions, more or less, if you're looking at back east, Penn State, some of those guys? They're up against it more so because they just might not have the best weather where they can train all year. Any thought to that?
Yeah, I completely believe it is. And I don't think it's just because in college the weather's like more, because most of their recruits are from those same areas too. And so, you know, coming out of high school and growing up, you know, through junior high and all that, I think they get that much more time to play the game. And so they're a little bit more ahead of other players. I personally do think, I've always thought that, you know, like I come from Nebraska and there's no chance you could be outside, you know, all winter long or all year long. So, you know, you got to have like a field house or a big, you know, you got to use a football field, indoor football field to get some of your work in. And then what the problem with that is, then you've got to wait for the football team to get done with their work. So you got to be on a certain schedule to get your work in. And so, but there is no doubt about it. Some of these warm weather states and schools, you know, they can do things that other schools can't do, and there's nothing like being on your own field doing them. So, yeah, I agree with what you're saying, no doubt about it. There's you've got an advantage being in those schools, and that's why they're there every year, you know. I mean, LSU, you know, you're those schools like that, they're always up there somewhere. You know, they might not win it or get the World Series every year, but they're a contender every year. So, no doubt about it. But, yeah, LSU and Tennessee are playing right now.
But it looks like it might be because, it's 3-0 LSU in that one, and TCU beat Oral Roberts, and we're going to have, Florida tomorrow playing TCU. So this is going to be, you know, really interesting. And you know, the Florida schools are another one. It just seems like an overabundance of pitching. And we've talked about this before. And I had this conversation one time with a listener, and he thought pitching was maybe 45% of the game. I said, sir, I'm 61 years old. I'll be 62 in November, and I will tell you it's 90% of the game. If you don't have pitching, you're not going anywhere in baseball. And how important is it to really, you know, get your guys as far as a rotation? You're starting to see that in Los Angeles now. It's almost become a patchwork type of thing here, and then they're trying to, you know, slide in guys, you know, that really haven't taken their licks, and you got to get the experience to take your licks and then be able to be instrumental in those saves called upon. Any thought to that?
So it's pitching is 90% of the game, and that's why when you go to, you know, to make a bet, if you're a bettor, you the first thing they show is a starting pitcher. That's what you're betting on, is a starting pitcher for or against. So, 45% or whatever the guy said, that's not even close. But I will say this, too. Watching all the college pitching this year, I'm absolutely blown away by the lack of mechanics with pitchers these days in college baseball. It's like, you know, they're groomed these days. These kids, they grow up in junior high and high school, and they go to these programs, and all they want to do is light up a radar gun. But there's no pitching involved. They just throw it as hard as they can, as long as they can. And you're seeing that more at Major League Baseball, too. That, you know, all your pitchers in baseball, in Major League Baseball these days, do really well. Now, all your throwers, who knows? But you know, I've always said one thing about pitchers, and I'll go to my grave with this, too. Opening day of Major League Baseball season is the lowest velocity on average throughout the entire season, because all your number ones are starting the games. And those guys don't need to throw hard because they pitch. They're pitchers. And they change speed. They move the ball around. So, it's 90% pitching, no doubt about it. It's 90% pitching. It might even be higher than that. You know, yeah, you got to score runs to win. But I got news for you. If you can't keep your team in the game, you're not going to win very many games. And so pitching is
right. And not only that, when you look at your state where you're from, Nebraska, the College World Series, I haven't been there, but I'm saying to myself, that has got to be unbelievable to sit back and watch some of these top schools just knock each other off that thing. Any thought to that in Nebraska, Omaha, as a matter of fact, to have the College World Series there?
Yeah, I've been several times to it. First time I went when I was actually at Nebraska, between my freshman and sophomore years, I went out there and went to a couple games in, and that's back when they had the loaded bats and the scores were 15-20, blah 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 like that. But you know, I think the reason that it was in Omaha, you know, way back when, is because it's in the middle of the United States, and then it just became a trend, and so they built a new stadium out there, and it's packed every game. But I will tell you this right now. This year, the weather has been phenomenal as far as rain and lightning and all that. And there really hasn't been a bad game yet. This whole World Series, they've all been really good one game or one run games or close games. And so if you got a chance to watch them this year or haven't got a chance, turn on your TV set and check them out, because there's some really good games been going on. And to see some of these pitchers, what they can do, has been pretty phenomenal. That kid from LSU. But the kid, he's just dominant. And his story they had on yesterday about how he did everything and what he's doing to throw harder. And it's really a good story, you know, with his nutrition and learning how to get better mechanics. I've always said, you know, the better your mechanics are, the harder you're going to throw and the better command you have. So it's just a great World Series. And, yeah, it's in the middle of the United States. It's still in Omaha, Nebraska. Get out there sometime, guys, because I'm telling you, it's a fun place to go to.
Is there anyone you're holding your hat on this thing? I like Florida. I mean, they're 52-15, number two in the country, but I'm going to hold my hat on Florida. Is there anyone, a dark horse you're looking at this thing to wrap up on this? Because there's some powerhouses in here.
Well, you know, my daughter went to LSU, so I kind of look at them all the time. Yeah. They're the ones that have that Paul Staines on their team, and he's just dominant this year. I mean, he is so dominant. It's crazy what he's done. He struck out 200 batters this season. And, you know, it's just like 200 in college baseball. I think he's like a couple away from breaking the record. I think Ben McDonald had it back in it from LSU also. And so I'm taking LSU. They've got some good players. And like you said, pitching wins, pitching dominates. And if they can get that kid back on, if they can get through this game today against Tennessee and they're top of the ninth right now, who knows what they can do. It's anybody's game. It really is in baseball. You get a couple pitchers hot and they dominate, and that's what the playoffs are every year in MLB too. You know, that's another thing I've always heard is what MLB has their playoffs. I always thought that they should never have off days in the playoffs, just so you have to use all your pitchers instead of just your top two. But
when you look at a guy like Kumar Rocker that came out of Vanderbilt, would have been number one pick, and then he dropped a little, I guess. He had the Tommy John surgery, and then I guess the Mets picked him up after that. How tough is that for a kid? And you could probably see that, you know, when you see these kids come up through the college ranks and try to get that, you know, that break in the major leagues, and all of a sudden an arm injury coming out of, you know, pitching in college, and you know, then the scouts look at you, and then all of a sudden, your stock drops a little. That's got to be disheartening, because I really thought that kid would have been something, Kumar Rocker, and I still think he can be something. But with that Tommy John surgery I think he had, I don't know how much that slows you down.
Well, it slows you a whole bunch, because you never know what you're going to come back like. You know, all these kids, you know, young kids these days, they're out there actually trying to blow their elbows out because they think, to get Tommy John surgery, you're going to come back and throw harder. That's not the case at all. You know, they got to put a completely different ligament in from your body somewhere. And then it's the strengthening which actually makes you throw harder. So why not, kids? Why not just go out and strengthen your body right away so you can throw harder? But the whole key to the whole thing is the reason these guys are getting Tommy John surgery is because they're going as hard as they can, as long as they can, and their mechanics aren't good. I mean, it really. Like I said, just watching these college games this year, you know, very, very few of these kids have good mechanics, and sooner or later they're all gonna have the same problem. They're gonna be under the knife and getting surgery. But you know, in today's world, they think, oh, no big deal. But you're not guaranteed to come back and be who you were before. And I've known a few guys. Dan Opperman's a good example for me. He went through four surgeries. He was he was the number one pick for the Dodgers way back when, and this guy. Filthy, the lightning stuff, but he couldn't keep that ligament in his body right. It wouldn't take, and he it kept blowing it out. Never got to the big leagues. I played with him in AAA way back when, and it was amazing. But he'll be the first to tell you, kids, get your mechanics right, get them right, but you know, now that the surgery, it's supposed to take like at least a year, if not 18 months, to come back, and so you're basically giving all that time away. To your career, where your body is aging, you know, and if you do end up making it, you're gonna shorten your career and just that little time too. So, that Tommy John surgery is for the bird.
Yeah. Now, looking at this, and I say to myself, you have a little bit of an advantage because your son now, I really feel he's going to be a big ball player here too, and he's going to go to the show. So when you see the recruits come looking at him and everything. I think he's got a little bit of an advantage because you've played the game, so you know what these guys are looking for and everything, so that must help him get that. And you can look through all the facade of what these guys are going to offer and stuff like that. And that's a good thing to have, you know, your dad that played the game, that knows the ins and outs of it, and give you that advantage when you get to the show yourself. Any thought to that, my friend?
Yeah, it's a different deal when you're a dad, because myself, I've just never pushed. You know, I've always always let my kids do what they want to do and play without having to have the pressure on them. And as they grow older, you just don't know what they're going to grow into, and you kind of hope it. All you can do is give them the best advice you can give them for whatever they're doing, and hopefully they turn out to be. First and foremost, good kids, and then whatever they turn out to be after that, you know, in the sports world, that's good. But I would tell any parent, you know, that has a kid, you know, that's going to be playing college ball or professional baseball or any sport for that matter, you know, just encourage them. Don't sit there and push them, because I've seen so many kids growing up that they got to college and next thing you know, they turned to drugs or they turned to something else.
Yeah.
It was always dad in the background or always mom in the background pushing them constantly. And they just didn't want to do it. I mean, I got a buddy that his kid played. He told me one time, this is way back when, that he spent over $50,000 on his son from junior high through high school going to travel ball tournaments. And
wow.
He said, you know, I got to get him ready. He ended up going to junior college, going one semester, and he couldn't stand baseball anymore. And, you know, when he told me about that amount, I said, hey, buddy, I mean, how about you just put all that money in a bank account for him and pay for his schooling one day? And, you know,
right.
But, you know, that's just how some parents are. They think their kids are better than they are, and they push them, and next thing you know, they hate the game instead of loving the game. I mean, there was one thing I always loved. I loved the game of baseball, you know. It was something I was never going to let anybody take away from me. So,
And not only that, Chip, when you look at it, you know, some of these parents try to live their life through their kid because they were something at one time and they never made it, so now they're going to try to push the kid to what they want to become. You've seen this in a lot of things. And if you just let the kid be himself and kind of nurture him along the way, if you're a pitcher, you know, hey, listen, if you want to learn this, hey, you know what? If you bow back off, but at least give them the arsenal of stuff rather than say, well, you know, my kids, you know, and that's what ends up happening. They live through these things, and then when it falls apart, then they don't know where to turn because there was no plan B.
That's exactly what it is. They're trying to live through their kid, you know, up in the stands, and it just doesn't work. And, you know, like I said, they push them and they pay for all these bats and balls and gloves and try to make them look all so good and cause they want them to fit in with everybody. But at the end of the day, it's are you doing this for yourself or are you doing it for the kid? And that's I watched it. I coached for many, many, many years. And it really does bother you when you do see it, because you do see it, obviously, you see it quite a bit. And then, you know, you're on Facebook and you're in some of these groups in there and trying to help these parents out. And it's absolutely amazing what you read these parents are saying about their kids and how good they are and blah, blah, blah. I've given lessons for years. And, you know, I've always told all parents, one of the first things I tell them is, if you don't want to hear the answer, don't ask the question. And because I've always told them, I'm gonna be honest with you, just that simple. I'm not gonna sit here and tell you little Johnny's gonna be an all-star someday in the big leagues if I don't think he is. I'm gonna tell you this kid might not play a game in high school, and they don't want to hear it. That's why I tell them first thing. Hey, you don't want to hear the answer? Don't ask the question.
Yeah, no. It's almost like the guy, and I can remember the days covering the Padres down in San Diego, and you know, people were trying to sell the papers and asking Tony Gwynn or something why he struck out that night and everything. And I'd wait for all the questions to be asked, and I'd sit there and just talk to Tony Gwynn about the Indiana Pacers, and it'd light up like a Christmas tree, and God rest his soul. But we'd be there half an hour talking and stuff. And I can just imagine the stories coming after a win or a loss and some of these media guys talking. You can hear a pin drop probably.
Oh yeah. Hey, speaking of Tony Gwynn, how about that kid out there that's getting all those hits now? 5 for 5 again yesterday. Areas from
Araz out of Miami down there, batting 400. I don't know how hard it is to hit 400, but I was growing up with the Rod Carews and the Wade Boggses and the George Brett's and stuff like that, and we saw Pete Rose flirt with it a little bit and stuff like that. But man, oh man, that has got to be unbelievable to try to hit 400 this day and age. But you know, we're in late June, and he's carrying. He's already got he's got 3 5-hit games this month, and it's kind of remarkable. And what Miami's doing down there is remarkable in itself. I mean, you've played down there, and seen, you know, I just don't understand why baseball hasn't transpired in Florida with the Cuban community down there and everything. You think with you know, the college baseball and everything, and how it can't transpire to Tampa and Miami.
You know what? It really is. It's kind of a shame what you're saying, because, you know, I can understand Tampa Bay, because you've got to go over that big body of water to come to a game. And it's tough down there. I mean, they just got to face it. They put a stadium in a bad place. And so people don't want to go to those games. I mean, they're lighting the world on fire this year for who they are, and they're not getting the fans. And, I mean, I went to a Diamondbacks game the other night, and it was a full house. And, you know, they're in first place, and they're doing good things, and that's what happens when you win. You get fans. But obviously those two teams down there, the state of Florida, there's something going on down there, because there's something in the water, not in the water, because they just don't show up. But that kid is, to hit 400. I'll say this, too, and I really, really believe this. Pure hitters, and I've said this before with all these new swings and how these new pitchers are pitching and trying to throw the ball as hard as they can, I really believe a guy like him has a chance to do this, because he's seen so many straight fastballs. And he's got a short, compact swing. He puts the ball in play, and that's what he's doing. If you look at his career right now, as far as Tony Gwynn with the same at-bats, it's really eerie how close they are with all their numbers. And so, you know, you had a Tony Gwynn. He could do anything he wanted to at the bat. But he played the game according to the scoreboard, and he had got his hits when he had to get his hits. They stolen base when he had to get stolen bases. And this kid's very, very similar to what he's doing, and I always believe that. I really believe the hitters of yesteryear today will be better than they were back then, because today you don't have the pitchers. You got throwers. You got hard throwers, and that's what they do. And those guys back then, I think they would tee off on today's pitching. And so I understand why this guy's doing what he's doing. At least that's my thought about it.
Wow, that's a good way to break it down in less than 3 minutes on this show. Hey, your former team, the Cincinnati Reds, man, are running wild right now. I know it's a long season. They just got done sweeping Houston, and, you know, it just seems like they're just rolling. I mean, it's like 9-10 in a row there in Cincinnati. That's got to be a good feeling for that city where you started.
Yeah, they won their ninth yesterday, and you know they're just putting it all together. They got their prospects up. They got some good pitching going on now. You know, they got a few veterans in there, and they're just winning. And that, you know, that's what, if you look at these teams this year that are actually doing their winnings, like Cincinnati and the Diamondbacks, what are they all doing in common now? They're all going back to the small ball a little bit, not just sitting waiting for the home run, and they're playing the game of baseball the way it used to be played back when I was playing and even before I was playing. And so I really believe that sooner or later they're going to kick those nerds out of the front office and say, hey, we're going back to playing baseball the way we used to play, because, you know, that the home runs, you know, there's obviously more home runs, but if you go look at it over the last 10 or 15 years, the runs scored per game, that's basically what you're looking at, is how many runs per game does everybody score? And the runs per game have not gone up since they started doing all this. And so why are you doing it? You know, you're making it a little bit boring because you're seeing so many strikeouts today. Oh, my God, it's ridiculous how many strikeouts you see in a game. And you don't see – I mean, you see some home runs here and there. They're sitting back and just waiting for the long ball. And if you're on base, you get a two-run home run, a three-run home run. But it, to me – the fun of the game is the strategy of the game, you know, stealing bases, you know, hitting runs and stuff like that. That's why I've never been a fan of the DH, because you take so much strategy away from there. But, yeah, I would love to see Cincinnati stay up there and do what they're doing with winning, and that'd be fun to see by the end of the season. But it's a long way to go.
Yeah, it is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And as we wrap this up, he's got LSU, I've got Florida. We'll find out who's going to win that one. But as we wind this thing down on the debut, the Hells Bells theme coming out. I can't wait for your theme, what you want next week for me to put up here. But we're rolling next Tuesday, 30 minutes. We're starting it early, 4 o'clock on the West Coast, 7 o'clock on the East Coast. Till then, Kip, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. Boy, what a great debut, my friend.
Well, thanks. It was fun. This is a lot of fun. There's nothing like talking sports and baseball and putting your knowledge out there to help people and just say what you're saying and do what you're doing. So, yeah, kipgross.com. Go to that website and fill it in and send a message, and I'll get back to you ASAP. And it's been a good day, Mark.
No, definitely. You know what it is? I had a guy tell me, he said, you got to get this thing to MLB Network and stuff, Mark. The reason is old school baseball, and you don't forget the guys that laid the pave for the guys of today. And, boy, Kip, you did it, and it just keeps on going and giving. And I can't wait to do this next Tuesday, my friend. He's Kip Gross. Yours truly, Mark Mancini. We'll be back next Tuesday, 4 o'clock Pacific, 30 minutes more of bringing it to you. Topics, man, we surprise you. Till then, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. Have a blessed night. Thanks for tuning in. Again, thank you very much, Kip.
Thank you very much. You guys have a great day out there, all of you.